rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks, and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. We will have our quarterly congregational business meeting today directly following this worship service, and we do encourage you to attend. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 15, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Thank you.
us continue our worship with hymn number 441, Love Lifted Me. Please rise as we sing hymn number 490, When Love Shines In.
Thank you. silence and look to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come to your presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we pray that this morning in the house of God, we may hear the word of the living God. And hearing, we may obey, be exhorted, be moved to see the reality of the toughness of God's love. Thank you for Jesus who took time to teach. Thank you for Jesus who gave us in the Sermon on the Mountain the expressions of the heart of Christianity. Father, the Bible said clearly, without Jesus we can do nothing, and it's true. And so this morning we're going to take a word, just a verse from Jesus, and learn what love really is. We thank you, Father, that we Christians can celebrate love with great conviction, that we can rejoice in love because we know what love is. The Father gave us his Son to die for our sins. Was love that moved God to our life and we became saved? Otherwise, we will never look to God. And even though some of us were indifferent to God, I remember myself telling my family, God is for all people. God is patient in his love. And overrule my own mind, my own heart, and change me, O lover. And imperfect as I am, I enjoy the love of God in my life. And it is my desire that every Christian this morning, here in our auditorium, there in the large auditorium of KKMC, and then in the internet, may understand the toughness and the brightness of God's love. Lord, we as a family of God here at Bethel have people who are not here today because they are sick. And we know of Loretta Forrest with her problem with cancer on the leg. And today we add to that our brother Jack Kazanjian, who is homesick because of a flu. And then, Lord, I was just a few minutes talking to Puerto Rico with brother Paul Ortiz. We all remember him, and he's home. I saw him in the computer, and I said, how come he's not in church? So I exhort him. Are you not going to church? And he said, Pastor, I'm sick. So he sent greetings to our congregation, Father. And we love him, and we pray that he may recover also as soon as possible. Father, the city has selected a beautiful piece of land for us, Dan Avenue and Murphy. I drove 100 times there. I have no prey yet on the land, but I will. And Raquel has drove by, and Brother Rash drove by, and many of the people here in church drove by. I can't believe it, that land is residential, and a church can be sitting on that land. Right in the heart of the next intersection. Lord, if this is the way you want us to go, just show us the way. Bring us the money, and give us the possibilities of moving according to your will. I thank you for the authorities of the city of Morgan Hill who are very concerned that our church remains in the city. That is something that I don't understand, Lord, but only you can create it. I thank you for the council. I thank you for the people, for the planner, for everyone in the city who is so courageous and so kind to us. And we pray that as we see your will, we will take the step that is necessary to be whatever you want us to be. We thank you for today, a bright day. Even though the news said it's going to be a rainy day, you overruled. It's a bright and shiny day. Must be raining in another part of the world, but not here. So, Father, we thank you for this, and we thank you for those who drove far away, and they are here today. We thank you for those who are listening and kind. And Lord, I want to thank you for my good brother Jeff in Baltimore. He sent us to me and to Jack a beautiful set of the entire Bible and CDs. And I was able to hear the book of Revelation over and over again as I drive. I thank you for my brother Jeff. He's part of us, part of our heart. And so many listeners in Ohio and so many places who depend on our teaching to encourage them. That made me tremble. And so I pray that as the choir brings the words of praise, as our brother read the Bible, and as I preach, I pray that I may step out of the pulpit and the words of Jesus and the words of your book be the one that the people really hear. Lord, we have missionaries that do the same work that we do. Fred and Carol Lewis in Russia and Siberia. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio Marisa Perez in the beautiful city of Benalmadena, Spain. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, right there in the city of Gilroy. The San Jose Sport Association in the city of San Jose for the young people. Lord, for Giovanni family in Guatemala, the Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, Martha Poretti in Argentina, and Daniel in America on the racetracks for motor sport vehicles. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we have not only the Word of God here in our church, but also in the heart of these missionaries, that we know them, we know their anxious, the other people may know Jesus. So we too. We have only one thing to show people, Jesus. And so, Father, help us, oh, in this hour. May the praises to you be acceptable, and may the worship service and the service that follow for business be pleasing to thee. We thank you, Lord, for the provision to support the ministry. Every family gives sacrificially in this church so that we can carry on the ministry. We thank you, Lord, for the offering, and we thank you for the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided for you in the pew, turn to page 563. We will be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and also verses 43 and 44 in that same chapter. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and also 43 and 44. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for being able to gather in this place and read and listen to the very words that Jesus spoke. We thank you that we have peace with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and give us the strength to love our enemies and be peacemakers also, proclaiming the good news of his redeeming love. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to further explain the truth of your word and lead us to know you better and your will for us through your written word. We love you, Lord, and are amazed that you first loved us. We pray for all those listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who do not know you, that they may come to believe the gospel of peace and be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's word. During the month of February, here we go again. We encourage ourselves to think on the word love, as February 14 in America and in certain sections of Europe is the day of expressing love and be thankful for love. As you recall, our center piece of a scripture for the entire month is 1 Corinthians 13:13. There is faith, there is hope, there is love. These three. That means these are the gifts, they are available today. There is faith, there is hope, there is love. These three. But the greatest of all, said the scripture, is love. And perhaps after the sermon today, after Jesus speaks to us today, you will understand why the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:13 says is the greatest of all. Last Sunday, we have the first sermon on Mark chapter 12, in verse 28 to 34, and we talk about loving God and the expression, the demonstration that we Christians love God is that we love our neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you find yourself loving the other person, then you know the love of God is in you. Now today, I encourage you to open your Bible in Matthew's, the scripture that our brother read for us, Matthew chapter 5. And purposely, I asked our brother to read the first 12 verses, which indicate to you and to me that Jesus was teaching. Was not great to be there where the master is teaching. The master, God himself, Jesus, God, teaching the Beatitudes. I think I taught the Beatitudes three times in this church. I think I'm going to do it again. But I want to focus on one verse only because only I have half hour. And that's verse 44. Jesus is teaching on the issue of love, and has given to you and to me four perceptions of love. Four perceptions of love. Let me read the verse again. But I say unto you, and to you were the people, the crowd that you saw in chapter 1 and in verse 1, and seeing the multitude, he went up in a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And so the disciples were there in a great multitude. And he looked to them, and he said, I say unto you, love your enemies. You hear me? Love your enemies. He keeps on in the scale. Bless them that curse you. He's getting harder and harder. Do good to them that hate you. And look at the next one. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, or as the original said, or care less about you and talks about you. I'm glad I learned this verse long time ago in the seminary. Protect me from myself and taking revenge of people when they criticize you. I want to say this without pride. This verse has been the key of my ministry and in my life. So that I never react to anybody, correct what is wrong, and keep on going in spite of people. So let's talk about it. No subject is more important than the subject of human relationship. God is creating, as he says, people, a family of believers who will live together in heaven. Blacks, Chinese, Koreans, Argentinians, and some Americans. They will be all in heaven, living together. Therefore, he wants that family to live together as a family here on earth, loving each other and loving their neighbor as they should. God's family must never allow hate to enter into their heart. God's family is to no person as an enemy. You hear me? God's family is to treat no person as an enemy. Every person is to be loved as a true neighbor. And Jesus gave us four perceptions. Let's take each one of them and talk about it and help ourselves to understand it. Number one, what did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Believers are to love all men, even enemies. They are to respect and honor all men. If you don't believe me, move your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 17, page 714. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, page 714. And let me show you what the scripture says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17. Honor all men, said the scripture. You see that? Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor all men. The word is not the word aner, which means honor all the males. It's the word anthropos, which means honor all mankind. Period. Honor that. Every human being has something that is commendable, even if it is nothing but the fact that he or she is a fellow human being with a soul to be rich for God. That's it. There are two facts in this business of loving your enemy. Loving our enemy is against human nature. Is that right? Come on. It's against human nature. The behavior of human nature is to react, to strike back, hate, and wish hurt. At best, human nature treats an enemy with a cold shoulder and keep a distance. You hear people say, yeah, I'm okay, I forgive that person, but I keep my distance. There are people like that. Their stomach must be really sick to do that. To wake up in the morning and go to a store and they see somebody that they have maybe an argument and, I go out this way, waiting that person leaves in order to walk. They are prisoners of their own hate, you know. That's what it is. There is one thing, a believer can have for his enemy. There is one thing you can have for your enemy, and that is mercy and compassion. If you do that, you reflect Jesus. Look in the Bible, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, and verse 36. And that is in page 603, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, in verse 36. If you have mercy and compassion for an enemy, you have the Spirit of Christ. This is what the Bible says. Be ye therefore, Jesus is speaking, merciful as your Father also is merciful. Let's never think that we deserve anything. See, when you think that you deserve something, then you seat yourself above somebody else. We don't deserve the love of God. And so therefore, we need to have that kind of compassion. Otherwise, you have no gain into yourself the Spirit of Christ. Love your enemies. If you have an argument with somebody and have become an enemy, there is a tool that you can do. You just love that person to death, and you will destroy the person or gain the person, one of the two. But your enemy will never touch you. Jesus said, love your enemy. See, love is tough. It's tough. Number two, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, there is a second exhortation. Love your enemy. And then Jesus said, bless them that curse you. Now, to bless means that a person has to speak. Is that right? When you bless somebody, you are speaking. And Jesus said, bless those, bless them that curse you. It's easy to bless the congregation who loves you. That's very easy. But bless those who curse you. See, to bless means that you need to speak. The scripture tells us to speak softly to one who expresses anger. You remember where? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, page 394. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, the page will be 394. The scripture tells us to speak very softly to somebody who really is in anger. Look at what Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says. A soft answer turn away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. When face to face with a person who curses you, be courteous. When behind his back, commend his strength. Commend his strength. A fact that is often forgotten is this. If we react with a sharp, harsh words, it will only stir up more anger and hate in the cursor. You are not solving the problem. Remember what the scripture says? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, page 714. You will learn in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Bible said that we don't need to render railing for railing. That is, do not condemn or attack him in bitter and abusive language. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. No rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are the end to call, that ye should inherit a blessing. We are only in this world to bless people regardless the reaction of those people. Now, that's very tough. As I said before, that's against nature. But yesterday I spoke in a large conference in Hayward to couples. The title of the conference was Stupid Things Couples Do to Mess Their Marriage. And one lady, a Spanish-speaking congregation, says, stand up when they don't like what you said in the middle of your speech. So, and this lady stood up again. I knew she stood up before I spoke that, but she stood up again and said, what you are saying is very tough. And my nature do not accept it. I said, that lady is all right. She's all right. I said, now, in front of all these people, I said, you, Martha is her name, Martha, because she talks all the time, so I know her name. I said, Martha,
Are you a believer? He said, yes. Well, then, read in your home 2 Corinthians 5:17. But they said, if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. So I'm not talking to the old creature, I'm talking to the new creature. And I keep on teaching. You better know your sermon when you speak with the Spanish, because they interrupt you all the time. You see what I mean? No rendering evil for evil, said the scripture. Don't ever think in a revenge. You know what the key thought for my life in this area? In Romans 12, and verse 21. If you turn over there, it's in page 668. Romans 12, and verse 21. And that will explain what Jesus said, bless those who curse you. In Romans 12, and verse 21, the very last verse, page 668 says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I tell you, brother, it has come so easy for me to do it. So easy for me to do it. They have saved me from a lot of trouble. And even when I see those who hate you in trouble, I offer to help. With all my heart. With nothing inside in hatred. It has saved me tremendous trouble. So, number one, love your enemy, period. Number two, bless those who curse you. Look at number three in Matthew 5:44 says, do good to those who hate you. Now, you see the words that Jesus is using? No. Do good to those who disagree with you. The words are very important. I taught in the Spanish conference that discussion and dialogue in Spanish are two different words. They look like synonymous, but they are different words. When you have a discussion with your wife, you have an argument. When you have a dialogue, you're a listener. You know, I brought all of these ideas, and they feed me after, so they like it. But I tell you, look what Jesus said. Do good, we understand that, to those who hate you. Somebody can kill when they hate. Doing good goes beyond words. It does things for the person who hates. It reaches out to him through his family or friends, employment or business. It searches for ways to do good to him, realizing that he needs to be reached for God. That's the key. We need to have an evangelistic mind. I'll tell you a story of these Spanish peoples and some of them illegals and so on. There were a lot of people. And at the end of the conference, a fellow came in. He said, Pastor, let me tell you a story. I came from Mexico, you know, in a trunk of a car. Have you ever traveled in the trunk of a car? This fellow traveled in the trunk of a car, passed the border, came to America. And it's so easy, the life in America. I got a job, $3 an hour. I slept in a friend's house, and I became a drunkard. I'm a professor of mathematics, and here I'm working and cleaning garbage and so on. It's better here to clean garbage than to teach mathematics in my country, he said. But one time in my life, a 12-year-old guy that was teaching math, because you study algebra and integrals at 12 in Spanish, he said to me, sir, you know what you need? He said, because I was an alcoholic all the time. And he said, you know what you need? You need Jesus. You know where you find Jesus? In a Baptist church, said the boy. Yeah, and he left there. And I thought, what a crazy boy. But he was a very smart boy. Now I need Jesus. I need something. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous for one day. I was right. The next day I was wrong. So you know where Alcoholics Anonymous here? That was in Hayward. The next block. So I'm walking, I had no cars, I walk in, and I see here, Baptist church, I would drop in. And God saved me, he said. The pastor tells you, do you have anybody else to be saved? Yes, my wife. He picks the phone, call Mexico, to tell his wife that he is a saved person. His wife, the boy that told him, now he's an old man, married, his wife, witnessed to his wife, and his wife became saved, and when he calls, I had Jesus too. So the pastor of the church paid the ticket, and back to Mexico. 5 years later, legally, he came to this country and is teaching mathematics today in the university. He said, well, I was in need of Jesus. I was not in need of a government law. I was not in need of people to hate me. I was in need of somebody to love me and to help me. Everybody told me, oh, you Mexican, go back to your country. And I will react in anger to that. But I remember that boy said, if you need something good for your life, go to that Baptist church and get Jesus. And I thank God that that Baptist church was preaching Jesus. See, God's timing is, I tell you, God's plan of salvation is just tremendous. We cannot even imagine what God does. Do good to those who hate you. Now, I want to give you a lot of scriptures to show you that. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 12 and verse 20, page 668. Do good to those who hate you with kindness. Romans 12 and verse 20, page 668. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In doing that, you pass the ball in his territory and not in yours. That's it. And somebody really expressed everything. Just only do good. And by doing good, you get the ball in the next area. When I play soccer, I told my half line. At that time, we have a full back, which is right in front of you. And the half liner, I said, play that ball in the other side. I don't care what you do. You know, there are some guys who know how to do dribbling. I said, don't dribble right here. Do that in the other side. Take the ball to the other side as far as possible for the goalie. All right? Now listen, you want to kick the ball in the other side, you just have to do what Jesus said. Do good. Do good. Turn your Bible now a little farther. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, page 697. 697, if you are using our Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. And look what the scripture says. It's just marvelous. Do good to those who hate you. You feed your enemy. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is what? Good. Both among yourself, Christians, and look at the scripture, and to all men. Wow. Not only you have an obligation to the Christians, but you have an obligation to all men. It's just amazing. Do never render evil to anybody. Never waste your time in planning a revenge. Never, never, never waste your time. Now go back, way back to Exodus, second book of the Bible. Exodus 23 and verse 5, page 50. This is the second book of the Bible. And look what the Old Testament says about doing good. Exodus 23 and verse 5. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen under his load, remember the donkey was the truck the guy have, the transportation, all right? If you see there's too much load and get flat tires, that donkey, do not stand back. You must go and help him with it. Wow. If you see somebody who hates you that has some problems, do not just push your hand and say, you got what you deserve. Don't do that. You go and help it. And I have put money for people who had criticized me badly. Some of the things they said were untruth, but I have helped them. Because I know what the Bible said, do good. And if you do good, you don't have to worry about what they said. It's just good, good. Amazing. One more. Proverbs 25, page 399. Proverbs chapter 25. Verse 21 and 22, page 399. Look at what the Bible says. And you can find over and over the scripture in doing good. Proverbs 25 and verse 21. If thy enemy be hungry, said the scripture, give him bread to eat. And remember, in Hebrew, bread is a food. It has all kinds of vitamins and so on. When you cook bread as a Hebrew, it's tough. Give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. By this, the scripture, you will be heaping red hot coals on his head, and Jehovah will reward you. You know now where in Romans 12:20, where Paul got the idea. The almost the same verse in Romans 12:20. Almost the same. Almost the same. In Romans 12:20, Paul, who was a reader of the Old Testament, got the idea and reinstructed the church. He said, this is the way to do it. Don't waste your time in evil. Only do good. Number four. Matthew 5:44 tell us that we love our enemies and we bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. But Matthew 5:44 said, pray for those who persecute you. How do you pray? Do you pray, God, confuse them so they get lost? How do you pray, you know? I thought to myself, I will pray, Lord, get them lost. But no, that's not the way. Excuse me. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, turn your Bible to Luke 23, verse 34, page 619. Luke 23 and verse 34, page 619. Jesus said, remember at the cross when everybody was laughing and was really making a mockery of Jesus? In Luke 23 and in verse 24, Jesus said, Father, get down here and get those guys out of here. No, look at what Jesus says. Father, forgave them for what, said Jesus? They do not know what they are doing. Then they cast lots out and so on. Jesus said, forgave them. Forgave them. Prayer for the persecutor will greatly benefit the believer. It will keep the believer from becoming bitter, hostile, or reactionary. I said to the Spanish people, because typical in Spanish, I don't know, you Americans don't do that, but we men get involved in something. At the time, our wife had the dinner ready, and we never are in time for dinner. Typical of our tradition. And so I said, what do you say when your wife said, the dinner is served, because wives can speak like that. And he said, oh, man, I get mad. Well, see, that's what we're talking about here. Don't get it that way. That hurts you. Your food is going to be bad, you know. Your stomach is not ready for that beautiful enchilada, I said. Come on. Now, the scripture said, Father, forgave them because they do not know what they are doing. Now, you say, well, that's Jesus, is God. Do you want to know a man did that? Turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, page 644. And you will see that a man did that. His name was Stephen. And they were stoning him for testifying that Jesus is that man, the Messiah, said to him, you will hear it. If you read Acts 7, you will see that over and over, Stephen said, he is the man that Moses said, another prophet you will hear. And when they stoned him, he knelt down, said the scripture, in Acts 7:60, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And so asleep means he died. The Lord took it. I mean, we have a great God, I tell you. He take care of you. So pray for those who persecute. Now, here's the conclusion. When Christ said, love your enemies, he could use about four different words for that expression that in the Greek language, you know, the Greek language is very expressive, the original language of the Bible, and each word means something different to the other, even though said the same thing, and we had no choice to translate it love. The Greek language is very descriptive and detailed in the expressions, if you memorize all the endings and so on. Its words are precise and full of meaning. In speaking of love, the Greek language describes exactly what it's meant. It separates the various types of love and uses four different words for love. Thus, it is always important for you to know which word is being used so that you know what God has said. I love the King James because in 1 Corinthians 13, the King James used the word charity. That's good. There is no greater word than charity. Now listen, when you see somebody begging you and you gave something to that person, do you expect that person to say, where do you live, sir, your phone number? I'm going to give this back to you. No, you don't. You just give the money. Well, that's charity. That's love. You give love, you never expect anything back. Well, the King James, the translators, Erasmus, understood this manipulation. So I just want to refresh your mind of those words, okay, as a conclusion. There is a word called eros love. This is love that arises from passion, infatuation, and sexual attraction. This is the love of passion for sex, never used in the Bible. Never used in the Bible. There is a word, storge, that means love. This is love that arises from affection, a natural born affection. You said, that guy has the gift of love. He's a loving person, you said. That's the word he's used. It's a loving person. That's the way he was born. And there is a love that we have a city in America, the word phileo, we have the city of Philadelphia. This is the love that arises from affection also, but from a different kind. It's a deep, intense, warm affection. It's the affection of a mother for a son or a daughter. We call that a love of a friend. That's the way a friend should be. And then there is another word, you know it very well, it's the word agape, love. This is the love that wishes well to you. It is a love that demonstrates kindness and benevolence and esteem. It is the love of the mind and the reason, a love of choice. There is a fellow, very young, but he's in rags and with a big beard. He sits at the post office, and each time I go, he sits at the entrance, you know, the post office. And each time I go to pick up the mail for the church, I see him over there begging. So the other day I took $10 and I say, friend, you are gordito, because he's big, you know. So you're gordito, but it's okay. Here's $10. Go and have lunch. You want me to pick you up and bring you to do some work? And he looked at me, you know, and don't say a word. So I know he don't want to talk to me. But he got the $10. 2 days later, he's there. So I go back again and say, friend, I give you $10. What do you have done with the $10? You know what he said? He said, you're not my father. Yeah, but you know, I'm Pastor Otero. You know Pastor Otero? No, you missed something, I said, you know. And then the guy, his anger became soft. I said, what do you know about God, for example? So you're not my teacher. Do you know that he's a lawyer? I called on to the police and said, now, we need to do something with this fellow. Will you come with a car and ask this fellow to give me his social security number? I put him in jail and he refused it. And so you can do that as a citizen. And the fellow, when he saw the police, he took all the documents and he started crying. I said, hey, I'm here to help you, not to accuse you. I'm here to help you. He said, well, you know, I don't have anything to pay you back. Then his mind started coming back to him. And I said, you know, something happened in your life I don't need to know. I only know one thing. I want to help you. I want to help you, and you don't have to pay me back. The police took it to a place and cleaned up and so on. He came by my office, clean and neat, well-dressed. He said, I want to get a job. I don't expect the $10 back, but he said, here's your $10. No, sir. No, sir. Yeah, I tell you what you do. We go to O'Henry's, they have a donut and a coffee, and you pay. But I don't want you to give me the $10 because when I give you the $10, I give you the $10 because I love you. He said, you mean dress as I was? Yeah. What if Jesus will come in? Jesus? I was able to talk about Jesus in the coffee shop. That's agape love, you know. It is the love of the mind and the reason and the joys. It is a sacrificial love. He took my time and my money. That's all right. It is the love that cares and gives and works for another person, for the good of that person. And no matter what the person will react to it, you keep on doing. That's the love of God. Is that right? That's what he did to you and to me. The word that Christ used when he said, love your enemies, is agape love. He could use phileo, relate to your enemies as your friend, but he didn't. He used agape love. It is not sitting back and allowing a person to do as he pleases, agape love. It is not allowing selfishness and deception and licensing and indulgence. No, no, it's not that. Agape love is putting a stop to sin and a license is possible. You speak with sharpness, but with care. And this fellow, George Hancroft, he allowed me to use his name, is going to be a lawyer in San Francisco again. I don't know what happened in his life. He said, what do I say that happened to me? You can tell he's a lawyer. He has words that deep. And I said, George, you said God's love came to me. He said, but I don't saw love. I don't saw God, but you saw me. And God's love came through me. Agape love is God's love. And a Christian can have agape love. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not a loving person, you know. I'm really rough. My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was not loving, and so I'm not loving too, you know. That's how psychology is. Well, even if your great-great-great-great-grandfather was not loving, you can be loving. You know why? Let me show it to you. This is very important. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, page 664. Romans 5, 5. How do I get God's love? Or do I apply to some place? Do I take a Bible course? Do I go to a conference? How do I get God's love into my life? Romans 5:5 said this in page 664, and hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. See, if you are one of those who said, I have to pray for the Holy Spirit, maybe you get something emotional but not love. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, comes with a package. You remember the fruit of the Spirit? Romans 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is, first one, love, agape. Now you said, and how do I get the Spirit then? All right, Ephesians 1:13. And page 688, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. How, this is how you get the Spirit of God. And him, said Paul, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of God. Now look at the process. Of Ephesians 1:13. You first listen. You listen to the message of truth, you know, the Bible, the gospel of your salvation. And then you believe. And at that moment that you believe, you don't have to wait any longer. There is no after over there. After you believe, Holy Spirit's in you. You see the work of God in you? You see it? You need to listen. The Holy Spirit is not going to come one night and say, hi, I'm the Holy Spirit, let me come in. No, no, that's not true. Now, some people say that, but they are not. That's not the way the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes when you listen. And you listen not to a lecture. You listen to the gospel. And when you listen to the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins. And he was buried and resurrected again. When you listen to the gospel and you believe the gospel, then the Holy Spirit of God comes to you. As long as you say, well, I agree, I like it, and so on, you are not a Christian and you will end up in hell and burn in hell. It's your choice. But when you understand that God has sent Jesus to die for our sin, buried, and the earth cannot hold him, and he resurrected. When you said, wow, mamma mia, I can't believe it. God said, oh, he's helped you to believe it. And he sent you the Spirit of God to you. And when the Spirit of God touched you, you say, oh, yeah, right. Don't rest until the Spirit of God comes to you. Don't try to get love. That's incidental. Love is secondary. The key is having Jesus. Jesus. And when Jesus comes into your life, the Holy Spirit and all the package of Christianity is in you. And you discover that little by little as you grow in your life. Do you have Jesus? Have you come to believe in Jesus? Are you convicted by God that Jesus is God and He died for my sins? That's important. That's step number one. Step number two is enjoy what Jesus has given you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that in believing you fulfill our lives so that we can love one another. I wonder how many people are there who call themselves Christians because they pray. They call themselves Christians because they became a member of a church. They call themselves Christian because they did something and they cannot live the Christian life because really are no Christians. Oh God, have mercy on us. Convict us of sin and bring us to Christ. And the Bible said, those who the Father sent unto me, in no way I will reject it. Thank you for the power of God. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the closing and benediction? And immediately, as you greet each other, come back to the business meeting of our church. They are very informative and very beautiful. Thank you, Father. As this family has seen, my Jesus is mine. I pray. If someone is here in this auditorium without Jesus, before they try to live by love, before the evening sends to love their enemies, that they should take Jesus. He's not our enemy. He's our Savior. So, Father, I beg you, in mercy and in grace, to touch the life of those who believe not, that they become part of the family of God. And the rest will be history.